Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
What a curious day as we return to the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. So curious, in fact, that on a Tuesday morning, October 9th, someone logged into our web server. That person somehow got our login name and password, and then they made a change to the server so it wouldn't run any sites. So we were down for several hours. Curious indeed.
Yeah, hackers in black.
Yeah, I wonder about that. In this case, I guess it isn't hard to figure out one's username or one's password, although both have since been changed. But I'll be technical about it for those who care. Okay, it's a very simple technical answer. And I realize some of the listeners to the Paracast also hear our other show, the Tech Night Owl Live. So this is how we explain it. Here's how it works. There is a way of running websites called Apache. It's an application, just like you have an application for your word processor like Microsoft Word or Apple's Pages. You have something called Apache, which runs a web server that feeds websites around the world. So what somebody did is they installed another copy of Apache, and the other copy, of course, didn't feed our sites. So our sites went offline. Ain't that curious? That's the kind of thing that isn't obvious. They didn't hack our files or anything like that. All they did was this little trick. So it required somebody who had the technical capabilities of not just getting into someone's server, but running the commands that enabled this to happen.
Weird. Do you know what the word Apache means and where it comes from?
Yes, it's an Indian word.
It's a Zuni word. And when the Diné arrived in the Southwest, Apache is the Zuni word for very bad people. I bet you didn't know that.
So it's now you know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey once said. No, I did not know that. But it's nice to have that information because Apache is the world's most popular web server software. Okay? So what that means is more sites are run with Apache than just about any other web server application, even Microsoft. There are more Apache sites around the world than Microsoft server sites. Isn't that interesting? Of course, the difference is
that
Apache is free.
Yeah, this is good. Well, I like open source. That's always good.
That's what it is. There's an Apache Foundation. It's open source. Developers around the world contribute it to make a better web because the Internet's supposed to be open.
Yeah, this is true.
So that's what happened. After a few hours, they figured out what went wrong, and the people who run our websites found the solution, which was basically to go back to the other version of Apache, and now they're investigating to see who hacked into the server.
Yeah, that was my next question, is how about the backside of this? Are we tracking down IP addresses and that sort of thing? And
yeah, we found someone who logged in from Austin, Texas.
Mm.
Now, Austin, Texas is a very highly affluent area of Texas. A lot of tech-savvy people live there. A lot of companies such as Dell and, of course, Apple have offices in Austin, Texas.
Hal Putoff.
So Hal Putoff did it. I don't even know Hal Putoff. Tell our listeners who Hal Putoff is.
Hal Putoff is a world-class physicist that helped create and start the Stanford Research Institute, SRI, back in the early 70s, where some of the first remote viewing experiments and protocols were done and devised. And he has since gone on to become quite a well-known physicist. He's working on dark matter and energy, dark energy, that sort of thing. He's been involved as a consultant for the National Institute of Discovery Sciences back in the 90s, along with Jacques Vallée and John Alexander. And he's part of a small cadre of very progressive, open-minded physicists that are very interested in the paranormal and UFOs and that sort of thing.
Hal Putoff did not put us off and turn off our sights.
Yeah, that would be off-putting. I wasn't suggesting that Hal Putoff was behind. Hal's actually quite a neat guy, actually.
Can we get him on the show?
That'd be good. That'd be good. He'd be a great guest. I don't think I've ever heard him do a show, so that would be a real coup for us. I'm making note of that.
Well, you know, the guest we're going to have on in a few moments, I don't think has been on many shows of this type.
Okay. So, yeah, this is another anonymous guest we have. This is getting to be a regular occurrence around here.
Well, our last anonymous guest was someone who had worked at the Skinwalker Ranch in security and revealed some kind of possible NSA connection.
Yeah, let's hope it wasn't the no such agency as opposed to maybe the Nevada Security Association or something.
Oh, I just wonder, maybe running shows like that caused someone to be unduly interested in the PowerCast. You know, it's very interesting here. Years ago, my friends and I used to have this kind of speculation. It started with actually Jim Moseley, where at Saucer News, where I actually worked in the 1960s as a full-time employee. That was my first full-time job, ladies and gentlemen. And Jim and I would laugh about which of our subscribers was really the CIA guy or gal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'd always speculate that someone from the government subscribed. I had a magazine that I published with my first wife, Geneva, called Caveat Emptor. Of course, that means let the buyer beware. And we wondered who was the CIA guy, who was the government agent, the disinformation agent. So today, of course, we have the PowerCast community forums. We have the PowerCast newsletter that goes out every week. And we wonder again, is someone lurking in our forums who works for the government, they're curious about crazy people like us, and they wonder what we're about?
I'm really quite normal and sane for a crazy person, though. I kind of beg to differ with you. You're nuts. You're certifiable. And you're a dinosaur.
Well, me? I resemble both remarks. But don't you agree with me here? There's a distinct possibility.
Well, I would be actually, I'd be a little insulted if we didn't have one of those type of lurkers lurking about. That would mean that we're not doing our job.
Right. We have to attract the lurkers. And we do have lurkers. Like in the last few weeks, we've had what they call trolls.
Yeah, the under-the-bridge crowd.
These are people who come in there and they try to stir trouble in forums. You see them all the time. They come up there. They're anonymous. And because they are anonymous, they can say or do anything they want. And nobody is going to have a way to stop them. There's no accountability except for one thing. On a forum, in our forums, we have the ability to ban a member. And what that means is if they behave badly, if they're there to troll, it messes up, what we do is we ban them. We prevent them from participating in the things that we do. So they'll either come back or they'll go elsewhere. But we can also ban by the IP number, which is that unique number that is created or used when you connect to the Internet. We see that number. We're not the CIA, but we see that number, and we can ban that number. There you go. Anyway, let's talk about our guest today, who is another one of those anonymous persons. And he's the kind of person who is more of the skeptical bent. And let me tell you the story here. When we had Mike Barra on the PowerCast several weeks ago talking about Mars mysteries, lunar mysteries, with Richard Hoagland, we discovered a gentleman who joined our forums, and he uses the name Expat. But he's someone who has pretty substantial credentials. He's worked for the BBC. He's certainly has been a science producer. He has interviewed the experts from NASA and the astronauts, and he'll explain why he chooses to use the name Expat, why he chooses to use the name Expat, and why I suppose he doesn't want to be subject to harassment by certain people who are basically proponents of these lunar and Martian mysteries. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to contact us, you could do it by Twitter. We are known as the PowerCast. Once again, we are the PowerCast on Twitter. Send us a tweet. We'd love to hear from you. With Gene and Chris, Expat joins us. You're in
the PowerCast.
Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out as seenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week with Gene and Chris, we have a gentleman named Expat, and he is someone who has certainly had a connection with Covering the Space program, but for various reasons that he'll explain to you, ladies and gentlemen, he has decided he'd rather not mention his real name, though I kind of suspect if people look hard enough, they'll figure it out. Mr. Expat, should I call you X or Pat?
Very funny. Just stick with Expat, please. Greetings. Greetings to you, Christopher.
This is going to be interesting.
Okay, Mr. Expat. Within the limits of what you can tell us about yourself and your background, how did you become knowledgeable about our space program?
I was working as a producer for BBC Television in London, England. I had a 15-year career with them, working for what they called the Science and Features Department, which was a department that did well, for example, the English equivalent of the PBS Nova series. Over there it's called Horizon. In fact, Nova was very directly copied from the Horizon format.
Isn't it strange, though, Mr. Expat, how we do that in America so much, that we copy British TV?
Yeah, sometimes not very successfully.
Well, yes, like Life on Mars was a very unsuccessful copying venture. That's just to be parenthetical about it. Okay.
I began to specialize in space flight. I made a documentary for the Nova Horizon series about life in zero-G. And then I became seconded to the live coverage of the later Apollo space flights. Subsequent to that, I made four major documentaries about space flight, not only the American programs, but the Soviet programs too. I traveled to Moscow twice to create program content about the Soviet programs. Went to Zvezdny Gorodok, where they train the cosmonauts. And that's how I became an expert.
All right, then. Now, what attracted you with that background to the writings and the things that people like a Mike Barra and a Richard Hoagland say about possible lunar mysteries? Why, if you don't even agree with what they have to say, even pay attention?
I came across Richard Hoagland, although actually, you know, we must have been in the same room together at some point, because we were both covering space in the same period in the 70s.
Okay, so it's also true that Richard Hoagland had a real career as someone who covered the space program at one time, right?
Yes, he was indeed a consultant to CBS News for the Apollo program. And so that it is rather ironic that he and I were close analogs. He for CBS News, me for BBC television. The difference is that I was actually a producer, whereas he was only a junior consultant.
What pray tell, is a junior consultant?
Oh, he was only 24 at the time of Apollo 11. Huh? In fact, it's pretty amazing that he ever got that gig. And he was one of four people credited as consultant to the program. And I've heard him described as a fact checker. That may be a little bit harsh. He certainly did have some knowledge of space. He had been a lecturer at the Gengras Science Center in Maryland. So that's presumably how he got the gig. But I didn't really come across him until very much later, until long after my career had finished. Hearing him on the famous overnight radio show Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. And I just, my mind absolutely boggled that somebody who was giving out such wrong information could be given a spot on an important radio show like that. I couldn't believe it.
Now, it's interesting here. When do you think Richard Hoagland, if we're going to take this straight, fell off the rails? Now he's going to come after me. Chris, I'm insulating you, my friend. He's not going to come after you, Chris. He's going to come after me. I'm a target for everyone.
Sure, he's going to have plenty of opportunity by the end of this show.
Oh, we're going to give him all lots of opportunities to come after us, but that's how it goes.
Well, I think it was the Face on Mars, the so-called Face on Mars, which was a shot taken by the Viking 1 orbiter in 1976, just prior to the actual landing of Viking 1, which, as you everybody knows, I think, is a mesa in a place called Cydonia, which looked a little bit like a face. But you have to remember that the resolution of that original picture was like 700 meters per pixel. Since then, we've had, four, five, six spacecraft taking better and better and better resolution pictures, until now we're down to about 1.5 meters per pixel.
Okay, that's, so we're talking about something here that's very, very blurry in the scheme of things.
Yeah, the original Face on Mars picture was just an entertainment. It doesn't look anything like that, really. But I think Richard Hoagland somehow thought that this was something that he should promote, and it was good for his career, and indeed he ended up writing a book about it.
The operative words there are good for his career. I think that's really important for people to understand that are a number of individuals in the field or loosely associated with the field of ufology, let's say, and kind of alternative space, the subject of alternative space facts that really do need to come up every 6 months with some new twist on their particular reality view so that they can constantly pump that career and always be highly visible and generating cash.
He's been a bit silent lately. He has not contributed to his Facebook page since May, although I believe he did take part in the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles this past weekend.
Well, I haven't followed his site, so I'm not really sure.
Oh, he hasn't updated his Enterprise Mission website since May.
Okay.
And prior to that, he didn't update it for at least 9 months. He's been very unforthcoming in that regard.
So you keep close tabs on what he does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I do write a blog. I'm semi-retired, so I have plenty of time to mess around with the Internet. I write a blog called The Emoluments of Mars, and I started it because Mike Barra stopped accepting comments from me and James Oberg on the original Dark Mission blog. This was a blog which was supposed to be an open discussion about the book Dark Mission. It started back in 2007, and it turned out that they weren't interested in critical comments at all. They just wanted praise.
We have Expat joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Expat. He was once a BBC producer. He's covered and is knowledgeable about the space program. Early on, he encountered a young consultant by the name of Richard Hoagland, who later, of course, gained fame for promoting the face on Mars, or the alleged face on Mars. And also, he and James Oberg were busy correcting what they perceived as errors from Mike Barra. Now, I just want to ask you parenthetically. You, Mr. Expat, are anonymous. We're not revealing your name. But don't you think that they already know who you are?
No, I don't think they do. No.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm not in any way famous. I have written books, but not about space subjects. They wouldn't have come across my books at all.
Okay, fair enough. You know, just trying to see, to understand. Okay, so they blocked you, or at least Mike Barra blocked you from posting critical comments on their website.
On the original Dark Mission blog, yes.
Now, in blocking it, they just block all comments, or are you particularly excluded?
No, it was both me and James Oberg. You know, I'm sure you know who James Oberg is, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of the great experts on space, probably the most knowledgeable American on the Soviet space program, author of, I think, 6 books about the history of space flight. A very knowledgeable man indeed.
Very much so. I've been dealing with Jim for many years on a small little private bulletin board that he somehow found out about. And I'll tell you, the guy is kind of freaky. If anything is mentioned on that little board, which is shared by maybe 20 people, within an hour, he has posted some sort of rebuttal or response. It's actually kind of spooky.
Well, I think James is a bit like me. He's, I think, also semi-retired, so has quite a bit of time to play these games. He does contribute quite often to the, Above Top Secret blog. He's very critical indeed of the material in Dark Mission, because so much of it is simply not true.
Okay, well, looking at the errors that you feel that Mike Barra has made, you heard his appearance on the Paracast, I presume.
Yep, I did, yes.
Okay, so let's just start at the top. At what point did he start moving in areas that you felt were very misleading?
On your Paracast, you're talking about?
Our show. I assume that's typical of what he says everywhere.
Yeah. Okay,
now, the one thing that bothered me before we even go into that is where he's trying to say that it is only liberals who oppose the space program.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. And he said that President Kennedy was not a liberal. He did. He. I think he doesn't know that Lyndon Baines Johnson was the greatest friend that the space program ever had. The territory that is now the Space Command Center in Houston was donated by Lyndon Johnson's buddies.
It's not called the Johnson Space Center for nothing.
For nothing, exactly. And then you moved on to the so-called ziggurat on the moon. I don't particularly want to go into that in detail, but I did make a note that Mike Barra said that the claim that it's a ziggurat is not disputed by anyone who has a brain. Well, as you know, it's very much disputed by Stuart Robbins. Stuart Robbins is a PhD, a working qualified astronomer.
I worry when someone says that someone who disputes something may not have a brain. I mean, I thought that was downright insulting. And I think I called him on that. I said, that's going too far. You know, it's one thing to disagree with somebody, and maybe you think that somebody's contentions or arguments might seem stupid to you, but, you know, that's pushing the envelope.
Well, Mike Barra's customary response to criticism is to call people douchebags. He's called me a douchebag, a homosexual. To him, that's an insult, I guess. I don't know why. And he's called me even worse things.
Well, okay, let's take a look further at the errors. Now, back to the face on Mars for a moment. Your contention, I take it, is that this is just a random thing that looked like a face because of the lack of resolution of those photos.
Yeah, that's right. It seems to me very obvious that if it were an intelligently constructed device, that as we got better and better and better photographs of it as the years rolled on, then we would see more and more that was true. In fact, the converse is the case. We have seen more and more that it's not true. All of the so-called details of the eyes and the lips, and even at one point they were talking about a tear duct in the eye. All of that, now that we have really good photographs, has disappeared. It simply cannot be an intelligently constructed artifact.
Isn't that, in a loose sense, like the Martian canals? We believe there were canals on Mars, or some felt, but as soon as we learned and had better or more accurate photographs of Mars, we realized it wasn't so.
It fits right into that history of Mars observation, absolutely. People seem to want to fantasize about Mars as a place where there was once a civilization, or perhaps could be again, because it's romantic, but it's not scientific, and none of it's true.
Well, that's what Edgar Rice Burroughs used when he created his John Carter of Mars novels, the stories about possible canals on Mars. So he said, okay, let's talk about this dying race of Martians on the Dead Seas of Barsoom.
Yes, well.
But I would think, though, if Mars ever had intelligent life at all, it would have been millions of years ago.
Well, yes, that's demonstrably so, and it couldn't possibly have been intelligent life that's anything like human life, because the conditions just have never been like that. There has never been an atmosphere that we could breathe, and the gravity is different, and the temperature is different. It simply isn't habitable from the point of view of anything like a human. I wonder, could we move on to the story of the satellite Explorer 1, because that was also mentioned fairly early on in your Paracast with Mike?
Yes, well, why not? Sure, go ahead.
This is an interesting story. I like to tell this story. I've blogged about it several times. Here's the deal. Explorer 1 was America's first satellite. was it went up in January of 1958. It was the belated answer to the success of Sputnik 1, which went up the previous October. And it was very much of a triumph for von Braun and his army team, because they had initially been told that they were not the ones that were going to put an American satellite into orbit. The Navy was going to do that. Unfortunately, the Navy's rocket blew up very spectacularly. And reluctantly, the government said to von Braun, "Oh, all right, you can do it." Well, now, the fact is that the satellite was very successful, but it did go into a somewhat higher orbit than they expected. They had planned an orbit of 220 by 1,000 miles. And actually, it went into 223 by 1,592 miles.
They were probably using Microsoft software, that's all. We know how they did that. We're talking to Expat, and he's here to talk about a reality check for those who believe in lunar and Martian mysteries and lots more about the space program. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to contact us, you could do it by Twitter. We are known as the Paracast. Once again, we are the Paracast on Twitter. Send us a tweet. We'd love to hear from you. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready, some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Are you storing food?
prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, expat joining us, former BBC producer covering the space program. And we're not just talking about the lunar and Martian mysteries, but quite a bit about the history of the space program. I'm just kind of wondering, as we progress, maybe later on we'll deal with the fact that we sort of gave up so early on the space program after the Apollo landings ended. But please go on, Mr. Expat.
Yeah, no, this has become a tremendously important thing for Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra. Hoagland did 4 complete hours on this on Coast to Coast AM and wrote a very long piece on his website, which he called Von Braun's Secret. Mike Barra wrote an entire chapter in his book, The Choice, and all of it that they are talking about is totally, absolutely wrong. It's based upon a complete ignorance of orbital mechanics.
Let's also talk about what their contention is first, so our listeners understand what their argument is and why you feel it's flawed.
Yeah, all right. Mike Barra looks at that figure. He looks at the apogee, that's the highest part of the orbit measured from the surface of the Earth, 1,592 miles as opposed to the planned 1,000 miles. He says, oh, look, that's 60% too much. Now, you can't possibly explain that by any normal variation. For example, variation in solid rocket fuel, there must have been something extra. And because this was a 4-stage rocket and the upper stages were spinning at about roughly 500 RPM, he says that they must have gained an anti-gravity assist because they were spinning. And that's the only way that you can explain this 60% additional apogee.
So basically he finds an irregularity and therefore it's got to be ET.
That's right. Now, the problem is that that is not how you measure the orbit of a satellite. You measure the orbit in terms of its complete width. In other words, you measure from the center of the orbit, not from the surface of the Earth.
Expat, isn't that pretty much high school science?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it sounds like something I remember from school. So why would someone like Mike Barra present something that is the reverse of the facts?
Well, Gene, he said it on your show. He said Explorer 1 was 600 miles higher than it should have been, and therefore something funny was going on. Now, if you actually measure from the center of the orbit instead of from the surface of the Earth, what do you find? You find that the semi-major axis was 4,868 miles instead of 4,571 miles. And the excess is not 60%, but guess what? 6.5%. Now, you could also use a formula to discover what the velocity of the insertion point was, and if you do that, it turns out that the excess is just 4.5%.
Okay, now let's understand here, a lot of our listeners are going to feel their eyes are glazing over as we continue with the science. So let's get to the main point of this.
The point is that Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra are completely wrong. There is no need whatsoever to suppose some kind of anti-gravity effect from the fact that the upper stages were spinning. Now, let me also go through this, which is, I'm not going to do any mathematics, don't worry. This was, as I say, a four-stage rocket. In order to get something into orbit, you have to achieve two quite different things. First of all, you need to get it up high above the atmosphere, say 100 miles, roughly. You can get away with a bit less than that, but 100 miles is a nice round figure. Having done that, you also need to give it horizontal velocity of about 4.5 miles per second. Okay? Now, what happened with the rocket that launched Explorer 1, it was called the Juno rocket. Its first stage was a liquid-fueled rocket, which was basically a stretched version of the Redstone rocket. That took care of all of the effort of getting it up to 100 miles high. Okay? So the gravity problem was already overcome by the time they lit the second stage. In fact, if you look at the flight profile, by the time they lit that second stage, the rocket was traveling horizontally, not vertically. So therefore, a gravity assist is completely irrelevant. Now, I want to emphasize something. This is not just my opinion. I'm sure if you played this back to Mike Barra, he'd say, oh, well, that's just the expat's opinion. It's not true. It is not my opinion. This is mathematical fact.
To the kind of stuff that you'd see in a science book.
Well, there's online, there is a technical report on the Juno rocket, which I've linked to from my blog. It gives the flight profile, which shows very clearly that the rocket was traveling horizontally when the second stage lit off. And it also confirms that a 5% variation in the performance of the solid rocket fuel of those days was perfectly normal. In fact, that is the very reason why they spun the upper stages, because the upper stages were clusters of what they called baby sergeant rockets, clusters of 11, 3, and 1, respectively. And they spun them because they knew that there would be some variation in the thrust of those rockets, which were arranged in a ring. So therefore, it's the 4.5% velocity increase is perfectly well explained by conventional means. And this is not just my opinion.
All right. When confronted with this, what does he say?
He says that I'm a douchebag.
Well, that surely doesn't help.
That's an interesting term. I've never quite figured out how it evolved, but I don't want to digress. It's weird to me.
It's a very old-fashioned insult, isn't it? I doubt it.
Yeah, it's like an early 70s thing. I used to say that to people in high school, and I really wasn't even sure what it meant in terms of a derogatory term. But again, I digress. Continue.
Well, he's called me a psychopath, too.
Okay, so instead of arguing the facts, you're a douchebag. You're a psychopath.
Yeah,
maybe he utters words that we can't even mention on radio.
Yes, and he does have a tendency to insinuate that his critics are homosexual. And I don't really know why he thinks that's an insult, but apparently he does.
I won't even get into that. I think that's taking it really, really too far. Okay, so basically he has no response.
No, there's no response.
Okay.
At one point, Richard Hoagland conceded that his mathematics on his website, enterprisemission.com, was incorrect. Now, he went about it in a slightly different way. He attempted to figure out using a rocket equation what the extra velocity was imparted to the satellite by the three upper stages. And he got that completely wrong. I mean, his mathematics would have made a high school student blush. He completely failed to evaluate a logarithm in the equation. And at one point, about a year ago, on his Facebook page, he did concede that that mathematics needs revision.
Now, the question I would have is, how does he come up with this mathematics? Is it because he's not fully conversant with the techniques involved, or is he just making it up?
Well, you have to realize that neither Hoagland nor Berra is actually trained in physics or astronomy.
Hello, what happened?
Or any of the subjects that they write.
This is just the beginning, folks. It's a lot more to talk about as we go through all the claims and what Expat considers to be the scientific answers. We have to look at the motivations, too. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to contacting us on Twitter, at the Paracast, we also have the famous, world-famous, I think, Paracast Community Forums. The Paracast Community Forums you could reach at forum.theparacast.com. Once again, forum.theparacast.com. Expat, joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There are disturbing health facts in the United States. We are now 60th in life expectancy, 41st in infant mortality. Autism is up from 1 in 10,000 to now 1 in 88. Over 100 million Americans are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. We're the most obese nation in the world. Arthritis and Alzheimer's disease are skyrocketing. Pediatric cancer is up over 10,000%. There is a better way. Don't miss my 90 for Life free lecture Monday, October 15th at Falcon Ridge Middle School at Apple Valley, Minnesota. Or call 877-279-9422. 877-279-9422. With over 30,000 autopsies and billions of research dollars, it is answers to the health issues ailing Americans. My 90 for Life lecture is free and could save your life. Monday, October 15th, Falcon Ridge Middle School in Apple Valley, Minnesota, or call 877-279-9422. Again, that's 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422.